Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Don't miss your free chance to tune into Benzinga's very own bootcamp series on November 20th. If you're looking to dive into new concepts and grow your account, this one's for you.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. As I said, welcome to Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, there's Joel Elkanen. Dennis Nick is here as well, lurking in the background as he's wont to do. He'll be on in just a second. We got a lot to discuss today. We'll recap what happened on Friday, over the weekend, last night, this morning. We got to talk about the infrastructure bill. It's probably going to be the story of the day, how to trade that. Yes, we will also talk about Tesla. Elon Musk is acting strange on Twitter again, so we have to talk about that. That's the law. We will take questions from our chat. We will take questions from Tim Quast, or we will ask him questions at 8:35. He is from Market Structure Edge, also the sponsor of today's show. So we got a lot to get to. Joel, good morning. I see your charts. We'll get them up on the screen. How was your weekend?
Very good. Welcome in, everyone. This Monday version of Pre-Market Prep, 8:02 a.m. And the Spoozer are green. We're up 275 at 46.93. I tried to test the low from Friday off the open, but caught a bid. Our number, focus number of the day, 90 and a quarter. That's our all-time closing high. We've had seven higher highs, seven higher lows, and seven all-time closing highs. What a remarkable feat. Let's hope that continues today. Crude is in the green by 60 cents at 81.87, just recovering from that dip under 80. Gold clears 1,800 up 280 at 18.1970. Silver, it's going the same way. That's up 18 cents at 24.34. Bitcoin catches a bid. Let's see, not a new all-time yet on the rolling futures, but we're up almost $5,100 to 66,500. And Ethereum futures, they're up $276.75 at 48.07. Wow. Triple D, when are you coming over for lunch? Like, when are you coming to visit?
Imminent, eh? The borders are open? You tell me the borders are open?
The borders are open, and I mentioned that pre-market show, Emily had a gig of photographing someone that hasn't seen their husband in 2 years.
Wow,
at,
really?
Kego Harbor. She was supposed to be there at 1 a.m., and the person got there at 3 a.m., so I or 3:30, so I imagine that border, man. What's
Why
your
didn't the person just fly over? Because I've got one of my good friends. One of my good friends got married during COVID. You can fly over the border. So, I mean, it's not like you can't just see your husband. You just got to fly and not drive over the borders.
I don't think so.
100%. My buddy flies over every 3 weeks to see his wife. Yeah, he got married during COVID. You can fly over. I have another friend too. Same thing. Flies
maybe,
over
maybe
every 3 weeks.
You shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, it's wrong. Like, I mean, you can. Like, obviously, you can't drive over the borders, but you've been able to fly over the borders for a long time.
All right.
So it's no problems to fly over the borders to see your wife, but you cannot drive over the borders. So I don't know. Maybe it was an excuse by that person, but So that was the go-around. That
listening.
Was the workaround in the last year. You could fly. So if I want to go out for lunch with you, Joel, I could have flew, literally got on the Windsor, airplane, flown straight up into the sky, maybe landed. I don't know if they have one of those or not, to go the 5 miles across the border. But yeah, you could fly across.
What's the nearest airport for you now, Toronto?
Yeah, the major Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So what do you got going on here?
Week closed. Overnight rocked. Don't be short infrastructure stocks.
That's the tip of the day, huh? Don't be short infrastructure
today,
stocks.
Today, you don't want to be on the wrong side of the infrastructure trade. I am on the wrong side of the infrastructure trade. But that's my overnight portfolio. So, you know, you work out of that stuff. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. That's a little bit of the name of the game. On any given day, it's a lot of luck involved in trading.
So we have a bill. It looks like it was passed late Friday. I don't believe it's been actually signed by the president yet, but that's frankly a formality at this point. So we're going to get $1.2 trillion injected eventually into all sorts of things. And here is what is in play so far today. Steel. We'll start with steel stocks, right? Ticker X, ticker CLF. Mm. You know them by now. Nucor. Steel is in play today. Yeah. There is a lot of money going towards just broad... I'm not sure what you'd call it, just broad-based, just roads and bridges and things like that, upgrading all that, right? Transportation infrastructure. EV stocks are in play today. Forget what's going on with Tesla, but EV stocks are in play today. There's about $7.5 billion in the bill allocated for electrifying school buses. And creating, oh, actually, there's another $7.5 billion for EV charging stations. So ticker is EVGO, ticker CHPT. Actually, EVGO also had another headline today, so it's up for two reasons. But EV stocks, charging stations in play today. What else do we have? We have a broadband upgrade, so internet infrastructure is in play today. You've got transit and rail, so... Railroads in play today. Basically, every infrastructure-y stock is in play today because...
And by in play, meaning it's strong today, not because sometimes they say in play, meaning takeover. These are not takeovers.
Yes, not takeover.
But yeah, so strong, very strong.
So you can see EVGO right there is probably your strongest, but there you go.
I mean, there's so many stocks. It's like rotation station here, and there's a lot of stocks. I mean, the S&Ps, you look, and they're flat. Well, Tesla's not helping that, which we'll get to in a few minutes. But you know, there's a number of stocks that are actually trading lower here today. Some of your tech stocks are actually not participating here. The big mega tech is, but some of the smaller ones are not. But then you come and you look and you're like, okay, well, what's really the driver here today? What is moving up here today? And it is all those infrastructure stocks that Spencer just mentioned. I mean, we got US Steel X trading up 4.5%. We got Nucor. I still have Nucor in my long-term portfolio up 4.4%. CLF, I did not rebuy yet. I was hoping to get 22. I might have missed it. I actually got there twice. I should have looked. 22.09. I even said on the show, it gets down like 22. I'm going to buy it. It would have been the buy. Now it's up at 23.50. So I want to re-get my Cleveland Cliffs. I'm not sure I'm chasing it up 5% here today. But then you can go into the construction stocks. You go to like Vulcan Materials, VMC. It's up 13.7%. It's a huge move for Vulcan. Mm-hmm. Martin Marietta, MLM's up 25 points here this morning. You're seeing, you know, URI is another one. Obviously, equipment rental up 20 points here this morning. So there's some massive moves off this infrastructure. John Deere is getting a lift here. I mean, obviously the cat's getting a lift here. Full disclosure, I got an overnight position in Caterpillar. There's just a ton of stocks that are, you know, getting a lift here from the infrastructure bill. So I don't know. So what do you do? You're on these stocks here. Is this a ring the register opportunity, or is this you know, a chase and they're going to go higher type of trade? I'm not sure. I mean, it's a big overnight move. And I never chase, you know that I don't chase stocks. So if I'm not in it, I missed it. But now I would be looking at maybe some of these stocks on pullbacks maybe to get in. But if you're in them and you all of a sudden get a 7-8%, you know, in the case of like VMC trading up 7% in the pre-market, like this is a huge move for a stock. Like, think about this move. In the last month, it's moved $25. But I mean, really, this thing's been stuck in a trading range. These aren't stocks that typically go up 7% overnight. And boom, you got Vulcan Materials up 7% here overnight. Is it a ring the register opportunity? But then you got a stock that's making a new high. So I don't like to sell stocks making new highs because new highs beget newer highs. So I think you're buying pullbacks as opposed to, you know, just, you know, selling it short here. And I don't short rocket ships, so I probably wouldn't be doing that at all. I don't know. How are you playing it, Joe?
You got to look at it on a case-by-case basis,
kind
right?
Of.
I mean, you can't – I mean, if you have a target, you know, in Vulcan Metals at 209.89, you know, maybe take half off, you know, and see how it reacts off the open. It's up – you know, almost $14 on 4,000 shares.
I mean, this is a company that missed earnings last week. Not joking. They missed earnings last week. VMC on Thursday. They reported a $1.54 versus $1.66. The stock traded down on that report. And then they turned it around. And they kind of turned it around the next day too.
Friday.
And now you just rip, roar, and rally. Not thing to do with the individual companies, but to do with the infrastructure bill. So people speculating, obviously, there's going to be a lot more construction going on here now that we've got this infrastructure bill finally passed. But is it too much too fast?
For this one, with the green, it ended up to be a green candle on Thursday, and then Friday you make that new all-time high, and then you back off. You're up $14. For this one, I'd be a little bit more inclined, to perhaps ring the register if you got caught in that onslaught on Friday. So X is X, it's a good level stock, and it will go find its level. Right now, I'd be thinking, can this get to 28, right? It failed at 27 a few days ago, twice. Now that 27 is going to be support. And there's just like 2-3 highs in the upper 28 handle. What are the other heavily? Cleveland Cliffs coming off that low.
Huh. It's been the laggard of the group.
Yeah, 20. See, I'd be more inclined to wait, to come back into 23. You had three tops in the 23 area. Maybe get some profit taking and come back down to 23. Nothing on the dailies until 24:36. That's your 5-day high.
Thinking about it here is if you look at all these charts on the daily or the weekly or even the monthly, right? And like every time they were out of favor, it was always related to the bill's hung up. It's stuck. It's not going to get through. Well, now we actually got every pop was on the speculation that we could get a bill, and every drop was on, we're stuck in the pipes again. Now that we've been talking about this for months.
I'm on Dennis's side on this one. It just seems like it's passed. It's not passed. It's passed. It's not passed.
Right.
I mean, has this already been, has this been baited in the market? Obviously not, because these stocks are getting a good reaction. The only thing I'll do that will kind of, the only potential negative here, we're really not going to find out on Tuesday because it's going to take a while, but we got October PPI on Tuesday and CPI on Wednesday. So throwing all this money into the economy, if you guys are worried about inflation, which a lot of people are, this is definitely going to have an inflationary effect.
It feels like a little bit of an overreaction on some of these stocks, though, to just give them, 6-7% overnight, even on the steel stocks, which I'm long a couple of them, obviously. I feel like it's a bit of an overreaction today. Even you or I mean, it's up 20 points, bid up 22 points here right now. Holy, this is a huge move for a stock. This moved 20 points. It was stuck in a range, a 20-point range for 2.5 months. Now you get like 20 points overnight. I think it's a windfall. I think if you're long, I think you're still, when you get these ridiculous pops on the news like this, I think it is a ring the register opportunity and maybe get back in and scalp your way back in. But I guess it depends on your time frame. It depends why you're in the stock. It depends, on either you're a short-term trader, swing trader, long-term trader. If you're a short-term trader, swing trader, getting these 5-7% pops, I think you take the gains. You're the long-term investor in them, like me, I am in Nucor, you're probably just holding on, because I still think there's, a path of least resistance on a lot of these stocks is probably still higher.
And just a general rule of thumb, do you get filed through the pre-market high? Do you hold the pre-market high? Do you have a big candle after the open where, you take out that pre-market high and you come back down through it? Also, are there any levels there with, some of these stocks are just in no man's land, right? Mm-hmm. So you can't say, this is the former all-time high or all-time closing high. I think you just got to look at your pre-market highs, see if you can get the file through, and then play it accordingly.
Something to also think about is, a lot of these charts look different, right? Like Martin Marietta looks way different
for sure
than a Cleveland Cliffs bad example.
Well, kind of does.
U.S. Steel, right? Or U.S. Steel, right? Or Caterpillar, right? Or a Caterpillar. That's a better example. So when you say, oh yeah, is it priced in? Is it coming too far? Maybe on a MLM, maybe, sure, right? But on a Caterpillar, yeah, probably not, right?
And remember, one thing to consider overall here is, we get an infrastructure bill, and that's going to help you with government spending, public spending. But what about the private industry here? The private industry is still looking. I've got a friend that quotes huge projects. I think I told this story already. He quotes huge projects in, and where I'm in Ontario. So he was quoting, and that's what he does. He's an estimator. So he goes on and he quotes out these huge jobs. And he had this one job where he'd quoted it out like last year, and it was $450 million. The new quote on that same job is $675 million. So you got to wonder, with the increased cost of, you know, materials across the board and labor across the board, is there going to be a few projects that get shelved? Is there going to be a few people that, you know, say, okay, well, it made sense at $500 million, at $550 million to do this expansion. It doesn't make sense at $675 million. So we're just going to shelve that project. I think you are going to see some of that. You're definitely seeing it in the retail, like housing, you know, the home builders to a certain extent. You're going to start to see that because it just doesn't make sense, you know, to be paying, as you know, 20, 30% more than you were paying last year. So material costs, labor costs are going to be one consideration that, yes, we get, boom, a huge amount of public spending that comes in to a lot of these companies. But the private industry is probably not going to be spending as much as it would if prices hadn't escalated as much as they have. So
that project that you're talking about there, was it, I don't know if you can say, was it
commercial, like, commercial construction?
Like office?
I don't think he told me, but he does all kinds of commercial.
Because right now, I would say, you know, building office buildings right now, I think you got to, you know, maybe let things shake out a little
bit.
Well,
yeah, I don't think there's a lot of that going on, but the commercial construction is still going on.
Oh, yeah.
But again, it's all, you know, if you put your CFA hat and you go to cash flow analysis, you know, what are you putting in? What are you taking out? It throws out when you're seeing 25, 30% hikes. And that's what we're looking at year over year in a lot of areas is construction costs pre-COVID, construction costs post-COVID in a lot of areas. And it goes right along with the housing market too, but in a lot of different areas, it's up 25 to 30%. So, you know, we haven't seen, you know, inflation. Like I was saying, that same guy has been doing his job for 20 years. He said, I've never seen price inflation like this. He's like, I've never seen in my 20-year career. You know, usually year over year, you see a 2-3% increase, not 30% increase in the price of projects. That will turn people off. Just like my one friend that builds houses and he does decking and stuff. And he was saying, I don't get any calls on. And when the lumber was high, and he's getting calls now because lumber prices have come back down. When the lumber was high, he's like, I usually get like 25 calls in the spring to build a deck. He's like, I didn't get one last spring. Nobody building it. I was going to build a deck on my one other piece of property. I'm like, no, I'm not going to pay $10 for a 2x4. Now that the prices of lumber have come back down, and lumber has come back down significantly, you know, some of that, those projects will get picked back up. But there's other, you know, construction costs. Like we talked about electrical. We've talked about, you know, different things. This is a major consideration. So a lot of these other companies, you know, we're talking, you know, when, you know, Vulcan and that, these are construction material suppliers. Materials are still escalated in price, and that will shelve some projects. So, yes, the infrastructure bill is going to help. You're going to get that public money feeding in, but there's some private industry that's not going to help. So I don't know if I love all these companies going forward.
What was that one stock that Mark mentioned a while ago that they do the wiring, or they sell the copper wires? Do you guys remember that? I never wrote it down. I wanted to check on that. I bet you that's got to be ripping. But you're right. I mean, you budget $475 million, comes in at $675 either.
That's a commercial project.
Either A, you're scaling it down, or B, you're postponing it, or you're canceling
it.
In some cases.
Yeah, that's huge. And that's the private industry. Now, the public industry has money. They're still going to do projects, but it's limited too. I mean, the public industry is somewhat limited. So, yeah, we're going to throw $1 trillion, you know, into infrastructure. It's awesome and everything. But the question is the private industry going to be backing off? Because I don't think you get as much as you would if construction costs hadn't escalated as much as they have. So, and again, we were in this environment where people were staying at home and they were doing stuff and, wow, you know, they were happy. And obviously, I don't want to, confuse commercial construction with, you know, residential construction. But people were spending money on their homes.
Hey, Joel,
sitting at home.
Joel, I think the chat's got your back here. I think it's ATKR.
Oh, yeah. Is that a chicken play?
Yes. Yes, it was.
This chat.
That chicken guy. He knows a few things.
These guys are unbelievable.
The chat is awesome. Our
they write everything down. They're better at writing things down than we are.
Wow. So.
That's what they must write it down. That's what we don't do is write it down. I need to write more things down.
All right.
That stock's been moving too. So there's lots of different plays. The question is, you know, are you chasing these stocks up 5, 6, 7% today? I don't think you are. So, but it's me. I don't chase stocks. So I'm never chasing stuff up 6, 7%.
All right. So I disconnected a little bit over the weekend because I was busy doing some stuff. But I was not able to avoid the story of the weekend, which was this tweet from Elon Musk Saturday afternoon.
Unreal.
I'll just bring it up on the screen here. There it is. Should I sell 10% of my Tesla stock? Yes or no? Oh, and I will abide by the results of this poll, whichever way it goes.
It's ridiculous.
Anyway, so 57.9% of the 3.5 million people say, yeah, you should sell 10% of your Tesla shares. The rest say no. What does this mean? I don't know.
I think you want an excuse to sell some of the stock.
He's probably already
selling. An excuse to sell some of the stock. He knows how many Tesla haters are out there, too. So maybe he's thinking, oh, yeah, for sure they're going to say sell it. Now I have an excuse to sell it, and I have an excuse to book some of the gains when the stock price is just absolutely nosebleed ridiculous levels. So it gave him an awesome excuse. So it's down 53 points today. It would have been, and you could say more, Spencer, because with the infrastructure bill getting passed, it would have been up today.
Yeah.
Am I correct in thinking that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's probably not even a 53-point knockdown. It's probably like an 80-point knockdown because it probably would have been up 20 or 30 bucks if Musk wouldn't have tweeted that. So down 54 points, obviously, from the close on Friday. This is Musk at his best. Does the dip get bought? Doesn't the dip always get bought in Tesla? Doesn't it always get bought in Tesla? I mean, it probably gets bought again. People obviously trying to get ahead and say, well, he's going to come in and dump 10% of his stock. A lot of stock's going to come in for sale, but that's why they're selling it here this morning. But there's a lot of people that are in this. But that being said, the dip just always seems to get bought in Tesla. Am I sticking in the long-term range portfolio? Hell no. But
nice range.
What's the low? What's the overnight low?
They came in, I mean, 4 a.m. in the morning. I mean, I wasn't up. I know you weren't up, but you're short. You see that news over the weekend. You've been getting pounded on your short. You get up at 4 a.m. on this kind of news. I mean, hit 11:30-50 in the second bracket, the second 15-minute bracket. So there are a couple lows right here, right in that area too. So didn't even get to this. I believe this was an 11:18 low, 11:19 low. On the upside right now, 11, let's call 11:80. That's kind of where you're stalled up there. So if we take out 11:80, it's another 14 bucks. And logically, you just have to think about the bottom of Friday's range. And that 1208 number comes in. That was the former old-time closing high back for a few days ago. Obviously, you made quick work of that that would be Wednesday and Thursday. But let's see if we can get to the bottom of yesterday's range, 1208.
Yeah, as the chat's noting, you know, Elon's got some options and he's got a tax bill due of, you know, approximately $15 billion on about $28 billion worth of gains. And so he's
if he takes that gain, right? He doesn't he has been taking.
No, he's already taken the gain. There's a good
sound to me like he doesn't pay any tax. He didn't take any of the gains. He doesn't pay himself a salary. At least that's what he was tweeting. I don't follow his personal trading or his personal finances, but
look,
that's what he was tweeting.
I would my guess is this: a guy like him is probably already selling, right? And we'll find out eventually, right? Because it'll all be disclosed.
Has he sold any stock? I never see an SEC filing with Musk selling stock, though. I never see one go by. Has he sold? Does he sell any stock? How does he survive if he doesn't sell stock? If he doesn't take a salary,
it's not like he wasn't already rich, right?
Well, I guess he must have sold some Tesla stock along the way, but I have not seen. Like, I watch those SEC filings very closely. You can get them right through your Benzinga Pro. It's awesome, and I haven't seen a Musk filing to sell Tesla stock in years. I think he's probably not sold in years.
So he's got these options that expire next year. So he's going to exercise them, right? That would mean a $15 billion tax bill, which is what he's thinking about. I mean, he's probably already sold a little bit, but we don't really know. We'll find out eventually.
We kind of do because he's got a file to sell. So right. I don't honestly know the last time he sold stock. So it's impressive, actually, that he just holds. Even when he talks against his stock, which he has done multiple times going up, the guy doesn't sell stock. Like, you see Zuckerberg sell Facebook once a week, man. I'm not joking. His filing hits, it seems like once a week, Zuckerberg's selling Facebook.
That's a planned sell, right?
Yeah, well, exactly. But Musk, I don't think, has those planned sells. No. He just doesn't, like, he just all in on his stock all the time. You got to give him credit for that.
Yeah,
I mean the Gates Foundation. Microsoft,
he does the opposite. He uses his stock as collateral. He's doing maybe. The opposite.
But I tell you, like, you see Zuckerberg once a week, Bezos selling stock, obviously a divorce to deal with. I mean, and you see Gates selling stock all the time, Microsoft. I mean, you see these guys selling stock all the time. I don't ever see Musk selling stock. So you know what? Props to Musk for holding his line. Props to this guy. This guy is so hated by so many people out there. And yeah, he's, you know, trolling Twitter every once in a while. But I'll give you, you know, the guy is a workhorse. The guy is a genius. The guy doesn't even sell his shares, and he lives in a 400 or 500 square foot apartment. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. I give you props, Elon Musk, even if everybody else hates you. Yeah. And even if I don't, you know, think your stock's cheap and I don't put it in my long-term portfolio, you're still a genius. Joel, you're selling. Joel's
don't
holding
sell.
Forever.
Don't,
you
don't
may never sell. Your cost basis is so low on Tesla that you can now never sell. Is that correct?
Dad, I don't even look at it.
The only person who's got a tax bill that will rival Elon's is Joel.
you can't sell because Joel's got these stocks. He's up 1,000% in all these stocks, and he can't sell either. He's stuck. He don't want to pay those taxes either. Nobody wants to pay the tax bill.
No one wants to pay the tax, man.
But you know what would happen is Biden starts taxing the unrealized gains.
Ooh,
that would be a game changer for everyone.
Dennis,
that's what they're rumor.
Dennis, come on. We both know. We all know that that's not going to happen. So don't even.
Well, we don't know anything with this administration. All right, I'm gonna tell you that. But we're not going to get political here.
Nope.
I'm just saying I don't know anything. So we all know nothing. So let's move on. We've talked Tesla. We've talked the infrastructure bill. It looks like cannabis is the next thing.
Well, what I do know is that every cannabis stock spiked at the close or just before the close on Friday. And I was like, I saw that and I thought, what the heck is going on? And then actually someone tweeted at me because I wasn't looking very hard or anything. And then he tweeted, oh, the Republicans are flirting with the idea of their own legalization bill for marijuana. They're not going to wait for the Democrats to do it. Well, the Democrats have already done it, but they're going to introduce their own bill. So every cannabis stock and the ETF spiked on that at the close on Friday. Big volume.
Wow. Give us a few examples here because I'm looking at some of the Canadian ones and they didn't move at all. They actually went the opposite direction. Yeah, okay. So I guess they don't like the Canadian ones on this.
Should have clarified. If you
I went to Grow Generation too, and I see it up this morning. I don't see it big. So these are like the off exchange ones.
MSOS is your ETF. MSOS. You can see that one spike bigly. It's up again this morning at 29.90, right?
Yeah.
And yes, all your US ones that don't trade on exchanges, those all spike too. I know you don't care about those, but you can care about MSOS. Sure. You know, even the MJ spiked a little bit, but it's more Canadian, so it's not going to be as move as big here. But the MSOS is sort of your big play here off this headline.
See, these stocks have been looking for a catalyst,
yeah,
right? And it hasn't had one for a long time. So, you know, as opposed to some of these, steel, you know, they've been in pretty good uptrends. This is the first day of a catalyst for. I'll just go MSOS. You're bumping up at 29.50 right here. That just is a daily high, but maybe you want to think about $30 on this one. That's the high going back to October 21st.
Right,
yeah, real close. Looks like 29.5. Looks like a little bit of selling there, but I keep an eye on 30. These stocks have been in downtrends. They're getting a catalyst. This is the second day because they moved on Friday. But definitely some room to the upside. Each individual Tilray, we'll take a look at that. At $11.
The Canadian ones are not participating.
It's a good practice run, I think, to understand how the Canadian plays versus the U.S. plays will move off a headline like this, right? Because the Canadian companies, right, they're not stupid. They all have deals to get into the U.S. that are contingent on legalization. But the market clearly is not interested in that. Because if it was, then Tilray would be higher, you know, Kronos would be higher, CGC would be higher. They're all up, but they're not up anywhere near as what the U.S. ones are. So it's an interesting practice run for what could happen. Every time we get another headline like this, so bill progresses, passes through one house to the other, to the president's desk, you know, this is what could happen. The cannabis ones go up a little bit, U.S. ones go up a lot. That's what's happening here today. So
Canopy Growth doesn't, unless it's bid something. I mean, that made a new low of the moon.
Not earnings.
Friday. Yeah.
Well, they also had earnings on Friday, right?
Again, we've hated these Canadian ones for a long, long time. I don't follow the U.S. off-exchange ones there, but it's been absolutely the correct call to hate on these things for a long, long time. And they continue to be a valuation issue now. It's mm-hmm. been a valuation issue for a long time. The buzz was hot. The story was hot. Yeah, pot stocks taking over the world. Well, it's not hot anymore. And the valuations are nosebleeds. So that's why you've seen them come down substantially. Is there some diamonds in the rough? Sure, there always is. But overall, you can bring them all up. Tilray, same story. $65 back in February, it's $10. CGC, and you know, probably should have never been where they were in February. That was when everything shouldn't have been where it was. Have they come down enough where they're cheap enough to start nibbling in here? I don't know. The valuations last time I looked were still nosebleeds. So
what's the growth? GRWG? Is that the symbol?
Another one's come down substantially. So what do we say? You know, what did I tweet? I tweeted this over the weekend, I believe. You sell rips on stocks and downtrends. You buy dips on stocks and uptrends. These are stocks that are in clear downtrends, and you're getting rips on them. I'd be getting out. That's my opinion. That's fair. Just my opinion.
Okay, before we get Tim on, let's do one more. I wasn't sure if we're interested in this headline. Maybe Dennis is, but I don't think I am. Regeneron here had a PR out this morning. Their phase 3 study of their COVID vaccine looks like it is wrapped up, and the data seemed like it was pretty good. They said that their COVID vaccine reduces the risk of contracting COVID by 81.6%. This is the single shot, I believe. One single dose, yes, is what it is. So REGN did pop on the headline on the news. Yeah. I wasn't sure how much we care, but maybe you care more than I.
Well, I think we care. These things had huge down moves because of Pfizer on Friday, and then all of a sudden, boom,
getting it back.
Now we get Regeneron. And this move, there is so much dumb money out here because I should have been, you know, paying more attention here, but at 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm dealing with my kids, I'm doing a lot of different things. This thing got to $645 this morning on this headline. This would be one of the stupidest moves that you can think about. Here's a stock. They whack it from 645 down to under 590 on the Pfizer headline. They get one positive headline on, oh, we got a drug too. And they bring it all the way back pre-market to get back all those losses plus some. What a selling opportunity. What a buy the dip and sell the rip in one day. Because we talked about, you know, Regeneron and some of these being an opportunity to buy on the dip. Moderna definitely wasn't, it continued to leak, but and Merck didn't really bounce back much either, although I tried to play it. But Regeneron absolutely got under 600, boom, up to 645. It's 622 now, it's kind of in the middle, so should it be up something on this? Probably. Who's ever buying a 645 this morning, though? Holy, overexcited.
3 minutes it took off that four.
That's the algos.
Yeah, crazy. I was just going to say, like, right off that open and boom. Gap prints, and I started with the 15 minute, but I was just I just wanted to narrow it down just to show you know how that's a 3 minute there. So here's your first 3 minute bar, then it peaked, and then you hopped in right into this area here too. Like everyone like that got stuck here, I'm getting my money back. Not a lot of volume traded, but Regeneron, it's been prone to do that in the past. We'll see what happens during the regular session. I'd hate to, if I was long, and I'd hate to see it test the close and go right on the session.
How's Pfizer holding up here too, which is surprising. I would have thought they would have hit Pfizer on this news. They didn't.
They did. A little bit.
It's down 15 cents only. I don't consider
that.
You
see the way that thing is traded, Dennis? The ranges and that thing?
It's a gift up here. I honestly want to sell it out of my long-term account, but I'm averaging at $13 and I don't pay the tax. So that's the main reason. I've had it for 8 years in my long-term account. I'm like, well, I'm not going to sell it. I kind of want to, though. So unbelievable that they didn't whack this thing. It didn't really give much back. It tried to give some back. It didn't really give much back. And now you get everybody going to get one of these COVID drugs, you know, post-COVID, it seems like. There's a bunch more coming here too. My question, let's bring it over to Moderna. We have 1 minute before Tim here. Moderna at some point in time is going to be a buy, isn't it? Because it was $20, $30 before the COVID thing ever started. COVID thing is still worth some money to Moderna. It's not like it's a zero. But it's the flu vaccines and the other stuff, and they're so smart at Moderna. I mean, it didn't make any sense at $497. Does it start to make sense in the low 200s? Question to the chat. Does Moderna start to make sense as a long-term? Again, you're trying to call a bot on the stocks and a horrible under, you know, it's one of those stocks. And maybe we should bring Tim in so we can see the market structure. It's going to be ugly on the stock, I would assume, because the stock's been going straight down. But at a certain point in time, if you got to the hundreds on Moderna, do you stick it in the long-term account? This is a smart company.
This is a good we'll bring Tim on 1 second, but this is a good exercise at looking at your monthlies and saying, okay, where possibly could this thing go, right? And, 293 was your low in October. Well, it took it out. You look at your monthlies. I know you can get caught up in the dailies, but your July low was 214.07. I mean, that's the monthlies. And then, you know, you came down to 1096. I mean, missing, you know, a $500, $400, $300, $200 stock, missing it by 5 points, if you're so inclined to buy the monthly low, that's looking pretty good right now. But, now you're only down $5 on the session. We'll see. But if we could get a couple more lows in this area, I'm just talking technically because I don't know if they have in a pipeline. Yeah. I don't know. But it's just using – let your monthlies be on something like this, something that wild with all the news coming out. You know, go a little bit longer term. Don't try and drill down on the dailies because it's going to get run over on a stock like this.
I should have called today's show. I don't want to sell because I don't want to pay the tax bill. Alas, next time.
It's all about taxes.
All right, it is 8:30.
It's all about taxes.
8:37 on a Monday, which means you know what it's time for.
When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search. But what if you could get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. In the minutes I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/prep. Just go to Indeed.com/prep right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/prep. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1 pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Market Structure Mondays with Tim Kwas. Tim, how are we doing today?
Good to see you guys. Well, thank you. Another day older, which I guess beats the alternative. Dennis, it's funny that you're talking about the tax impact and how that influences your thinking. My wife and I, because she spent 20 years in the energy business, have some MLPs, so Master Limited Partnerships in Energy. And it's the same drill as Pfizer. You look at it and think that the amount of taxes that you would pay to get out of that position are just ridiculous. But anyway.
When you're averaged in and your cost basis is almost nothing. And a lot of people that have been buying stocks for the last, like if you bought some stocks, you know, good stocks 10, 15, 20 years ago, like I know a lot of people, their cost basis on Apple is like $3 or $4. Mine's 25. But you just think and you're like, your cost based on this, this is my long-term account, but I'm like, do I really want to, you know, if you're inside, your Roth or whatever, but if it's outside, I have a lot of money outside. I mean, I don't want to realize this tax gain and then give half the money away almost. So it's a consideration for sure.
Yes, it is. And I saw that you were talking. Go ahead, Spencer.
I was going to ask about Moderna here. We were talking about Moderna.
Yeah. Let's. So for you fans of supply and demand, let's look at supply and demand in Moderna, because it is very telling. Joel, I think you said it must, or it was Dennis or Joel said, "Boy, it must be ugly." And
I did.
Okay. Well, you're right. It is ugly. So.
Stock goes down every day. Can't be good.
So once, if you've never seen this before, folks, this is marketstructureedge.com, and you can do this too. Just you put your name and email in, and no credit cards. You can look at this same data, for 14 days. But here's what the data tell us. The top graph is demand versus price, and the bottom graph is supply, short volume. And so when demand is falling and supply is rising, what will price generally do? Go down, right? It is ugly. It really is. And it's been, the interesting thing is for a period of time, Moderna was at the very top of our, top of our list here internally. We will track how much time stocks spend at 10. So 10 out of 10 is the absolute top of the demand chart. And so if demand is very strong and supply is constrained, price will continue to rise. And Moderna was there for a very long time, but it hasn't been. It's been spending more time below 5 than above it. Very challenging. I mean, it'd be much better to look at a stock like Arista Networks. I'll give you the, it's a great contrast. So if you look at Moderna and you look at Anet, stock I traded last week, and it's just fabulous. So here's the difference. Notice this: demand rising, supply falling. What does that tend to produce? Rising prices. And Moderna's got a long way to go. If you have a long-term perspective, fine, but why buy something that's likely to decline? I generally like to buy stuff that's likely to rise. Yeah. That's my preference.
Your system's it's a momentum system, it almost feels like, which is a momentum market, which is why it probably works well in this type of market. We've been in a momentum market for a long time where the weak seem to get weaker, the strong seem to get stronger. What point can you make money on the turns? Like when a stock finally, decides to stop going down and it looks like it's exhausted and seller exhaustion, and eventually, you start to turn. Like in the case of Moderna, what would it take for your system to turn around and say, hey, this Moderna is actually starting to look okay now?
Demand rising and supply falling. It's more complicated than that, right? Yeah. It is that simple. If we, if we back up and look at the time that I'm just going to back this up 6 months. So if you go back to, call it early May. Early May was a great time to buy Moderna because it had those very characteristics: surging demand, falling supply. That is a very, very consistent characteristic of stocks that produce returns. And you could come up with all the reasons in the world why you might like a stock or not like a stock. What it all comes down to is supply and demand. That's really it. And where did that stop? It really stopped here, right in September, when Moderna did not return to 10. That was the time to leave and go find something else. Yes, it produced some more gains, and it was for the same reason. The supply's falling, demand's rising. But we already know that this is a product of passive money. Passive asset allocation dollars will spend a particular amount of time in stuff, and then it's going to have to reweight if that stuff goes up. And you might as well go find something else, like Qualcomm or Airbnb. Airbnb, another great stock to look at from a supply demand perspective. We could talk about the financial performance, the opportunities in that business, but that's not what causes stocks to go up and down. It's supply and demand. And here you go. So you have a surging demand side, falling supply side. That will produce rising prices. And when those things stop, then leave. It's, you know, it's it ain't over till it's over, as Yogi Berra said. That's really dating myself. And for you youngsters, great New York Yankees baseball player, catcher, Tim, World War II vet. But, Tim, you know, that's what you want.
Tim, somebody was asking if you could look at DWAC. I don't even know if you have sentiment on that.
I'm not sure we do yet either. We'll take a look. Because we buy data that will give us everything in the market.
Right.
But we won't populate Edge until there are about 20 days of data.
Got
and I
it.
Think we're getting very close to that. Otherwise we can't calculate supply and demand without some historical data.
Right.
Got it.
Yep. Right. One thing I would like to ask you about is last week we talked about, well, maybe not with you, but we talked about on our show, Dell and VMware, the spinoff happened last week and that went into effect and now they're different companies. And can you look at those for us? And I'm just curious now that we're a couple of days out of that event, how the market digested that.
Right. And I fully expected to be taken to task because I said a couple of things last week about Dell and VMware. I said that probably Dell does not have the same opportunity that VMware does. And I don't mean immediately. This is a big deal. This was a $27 a share shift of value from VMware to Dell. So it behaved like a stock split. So Dell's price reset to about 56% of what it was before.
Right.
So we could calculate that pretty close to where it would be. But here's Dell. And you look at it and say, well, that's not great, is it? And I'm not saying that you should buy Dell. But once again, notice the demand side was very good before the deal because everybody wanted that $27 of cash distribution. But then you have falling demand, rising supply above the trend. That's not great. So let's look at VMware. I think VMware has a lot of – this is not a – supply-demand equation, this is where I would have an opinion. I would say my opinion about VMware, which is now bottomed, by the way, and it's very rarely a one. Oh, it's very, I mean, if you have the demand side all the way to one from
it's
a 10.
From a 10 to a one, like it yes. feels like overnight.
Exactly, right. And it did because all of that cash came out off of VMware's balance sheet and went to the Dell shareholders. But look at that, you know, so here we have demand at the floor, supply falling. That will produce gains ahead. And I think that VMware is a great, potentially a beautiful way for passive money to have exposure to the cloud. Now that Michael Dell is no longer the controlling shareholder, he still owns 40% of it, that creates a better opportunity for passive money to own it. So that's not an edge look at the way things that work, but it's something to think about if you have a longer view about the cloud.
If we could show my chart, kind of interesting here. Okay. You had three lows in the same area during the unwind, and you came to that area. It was like a ballpark 124. And then you had three highs right in the same area at 136. So you got, you know, people ask about range stocks. You got a nice range developing here. You got some lows to lean on. And Dennis, I'm going to throw it to you. Do you think it was finally, you know, this action here, it's usually like a wild stock. You think it was finally like ARBs, like the final unwind? I mean, you know,
I traded VMware Dell for a decade, I feel like, a long time.
Then
I
you got ran that. Over one time.
Why was that? There, I did. Why
you
was
did.
That? I don't remember what that was. That was,
I remember,
they were talking about doing this spinoff, I think is what happened. I almost really got run over.
You did.
I would pay that. You know, and I'm trying to remember all the logistics.
The spread was like,
I haven't played the VMware Dell in a while,
yeah.
But yeah.
It was mild. The spread was mild, and it blew out, and you put it
huge.
On.
It blew
and
out
then it
huge.
Blew out again, yeah. And you're like, I can't trade. I don't know what the relationship was. And then it, like, I don't know what the number was, but when I had talked to you afterwards, it was like three or four times and where you had covered at a big loss already. So
yeah, it's a point where, and Tim's making that point too, like the arbitrage effects are greater than anything else. And when you all of a sudden lose all those effects, now you have a real company here. And I think that's the point that Tim was trying to make here is, you know, it now doesn't have all those arbitrage effects in it. So it's going to move differently. And we can see that, you know, even the last week, like look at the movement in VMware, all of a sudden it's like, it's a volatile stock as people try to reprice. What is this worth as a standalone company?
Yeah. And the looking at the short volume data, which you can do with Edge, it was apparent to us, and I should, you know, so full disclosure, both Dell and VMware are customers of our data on the corporate side. They have been for a very long time. So we track this data for them very closely heading into this transaction. But it was very apparent from the point that transaction's notion, it not even confirmed, when that rumor hit the markets, Dell became the long side of the trade, VMware became the short side of the trade. Mm. And you could see that in the data. I'm looking at a year-long chart for VMware, and their short volume average is 55%. Well, it's very difficult for a price to rise if more than half of the trading volume every single day is borrowed, is artificial supply. But now, we have seen short volume drop to a level that is approaching what it was in December of 2020 when that story broke. So we are returning, and that preceded some nice gains from December to about March. There were some pretty good gains in VMware, December 2020 to March 2020, right through the pandemic. But that means there's a distinct change occurring. To your point, Joel, about the arbitrage play. The arbitrage play is over. The long short trade in Dell VMware is over. And I think that opens the door for some very significant appreciation for VMware.
Tim, question in the chat, what you think about PayPal here?
PayPal. Or
what the market structure sentiment says about PayPal.
Goes down every day.
It goes down every day.
That's a Dennis sentiment. That's a Dennis sentiment.
Wait, Tim, and then can you reshare your screen?
I'd like to buy it, but it goes down every day.
Yeah, sure. Right. So once again, so for you veterans of the Edge mob, you know you don't want to buy falling demand, right? That's the whole point of the deal. So here's PayPal. The supply side isn't bad, but there's a point where the supply side will reflect a lack of interest. So let's look at supply and demand. This is just 30 days, but look at the amount of time that PayPal has spent above five. It's 3 days, 3 out of 30. It's horrible. So even though the supply side has fallen, and it's only about 20, it's less than, that's at a deal stock level. Short volume. But you look at this chart, this is why PayPal continues to go down. You could come up with all the reasons in the world, the story, the whatever, you know, but here it is. The supply demand equation is abysmal. And unless and until it changes, unless those things can diverge, leave it alone.
Tell us again when, you know, you see that, you know, change. So a lot of people are looking, I want to buy PayPal. I want to buy PayPal. Same thing with Moderna. You know, stock goes down every day. You can't help yourself. You just want to buy it because it's getting cheaper. You know, you think eventually it's going to turn it around. We want to get the timing right, though. So at what point when we're using market structure Edge, what would you want to exactly see? And I know you can say in the supply when the demand exceeds supply. But on your numbers, like when would you want to strike?
So here's a case in point. So if we look at roughly, let's call it mid-August. Okay. So here demand rises and supply has fallen sharply below trend. That's a spot where you could take a chance. You could say it's riskier than buying it above five because you're saying I'm going to believe that demand is going to at least achieve equilibrium and maybe exceed supply. Really, that's how I think of it. There's a 10-point scale. And five is the fulcrum, and if there's more demand, then it's above five. If there's less demand, then it's below. So that was the only shot. And the moment that short volume shot up here, see this, you should be out. If that happens, just leave, because it already is telling you that the supply-demand equation will not support the price any longer. And it's not been worth paying any attention to since then. So you would say, well, how, when would it? Well, you could sit around waiting, but you might as well go trade something else. We find that stuff. You know, we're very close. This was what Spencer, I told you that I was going to share something new. Well, we're within a month of just putting this in a portfolio for edge users. We'll just give you the stuff that in the last 5 days has this divergence. And that's the, that it's, we've been testing this data for months. We're running, testing data and saying, is there statistical validity to this? And there is. So we're finding that the top 25 of those, 23 of them make money consistently. So that tells us there's great, great statistical significance in that divergence. And if we can do that, then who cares about whatever else there is? Let's just trade that stuff. And that's stuff like Team. You know, if you look at Team, which was in the top 25 in that list, that produces gains. You see this divergence? Wherever that divergence occurs, here rising demand, falling supply. Here demand's at 10, supply falls. The stock's going to surge. When that breaks down, then you leave. And here it has already. So see that short volume's above trend, demand's at the top of the ceiling. Okay, move on. We'll find the next thing. But that to me is more important than sitting and waiting for PayPal to become a good stock.
You can find more about Tim's platform, learn more about it, demo it yourself. Go to marketstructureedge.com. The link is up on the screen there at the bottom. It's also in the description. Tim Kwas joins us every Monday at this time.
Thanks, Tim.
Market Structure Mondays. Tim, pleasure as always. Talk to you again next week.
Okay.
Thanks, all right, Tim. Let's do some real fast ticker time.
Somebody I just want to say real quick for your PayPal people, if you're looking for a reference area here, you do have three lows in the same area. Right, this is called 225. So if you think this is overdone, you maybe you want to pay up a little bit. You got to keep an eye on that area. But what you need is for like these are patient buyers, right? And they've been waiting for it to come down to 225. What you really need is like, are they going to step up to 230? Like, I can't get any more 225 now, you know, but I still want to own another 5 million shares. You know, do I wait? Do I stay? But you got three lows in the same area. The ranges have come down a little bit. You know, maybe if you get above 232, then things kind of open up. But at least you got a reference point here. I don't know if there's is there anything on the monthlies around that area. Yeah, you got a monthly. You got your March low at 223.09. So you have a reference point. Whether it's going to hold, well, we'll have to see in today's session.
Steve Janney asked a while ago. He got his request in there early. He said he asked thoughts on Square after Friday's fall.
Man, is that thing a crazy stock?
Too. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you got a PayPal problem here too. That this Paris traders, I trade PayPal with Square all the time. So when I see PayPal this week, it makes me not want to own Square. PayPal starts to turn, maybe it turns it around. But you got to understand the relationships. PayPal and Square, the same company, no. But there's ARBs out there that do trade them with each other. So I know Square disappointed on earnings, and you know, obviously, well, they didn't even know if they disappointed. They rallied, they hit it, then they rallied it, then they hit it. I guess they finally determined that they did disappoint. But don't discount the fact that the pressure that PayPal weakness will put on Square, because there are relationship-based traders that pair those two stocks up together. So I think until PayPal turns around, it's hard to just jump on the Square bandwagon.
Little different technical setup here, because you have distanced yourself for the low a little bit. So if you are trading up a $1.12, you do have the pair of lows at right around 231 to lean on, 231, 232. So I'll be looking at it. It's not like the PayPal where, you know, for the time being, whether it was someone trying to get long or short, this is kind of a little bit more, you're just kind of taking a stab after the big down day on Friday.
Okay. Somebody was asking us really badly about Lucid Motors, LCID. Stock is up again this
Such
morning.
It's in monster mode. Gosh. And I mean, these EVs, and this is infrastructure too. So you've got obviously clean energy plays here coming out of the infrastructure. You're seeing, like I said, Tesla would be up if it didn't get musked over the weekend. But you can go to all the EV plays. They're all trading up here this morning. Lucid has just it's in monster mode here right now. Again, are we getting to a point where, you know, sell your peanuts while the circus is in town? Maybe, but the stock just broke out here again. So, you know, I like it. I like the breakout over the 41.60 high that we had just from 4 days ago. Now we're trading 43.50. There could be room to 50. At a certain point in time, you got to say, okay, it was $25 10 trading sessions ago. At what point in time do I ring the register? I think you're lightening up into it, but to call the top on this is going to be difficult. And you know what? If you're in it, maybe you're just raising, maybe you're just trailing up your stops.
Someone's selling their peanuts at $44.19. That's
peanut sale.
I don't know how many they have. Oh, look,
are they salted peanuts?
There's some volume there. Whoa, this is trading some volume. $44.19. So keep an eye on that. I don't have anything else on the dailies, but hey, you take out $44.19, you hold 44. You know, why the heck not? Maybe look for 45, but at least
Mitch has a thought. Mitch has a thought here.
Ooh, we got money.
Joel, did you miss a daily gap at 43.94 up to 50.32?
I have to go farther back on my daily.
Mitch holding our gap trader accountable here. You like that? Well, where's the gap go to?
Look at it right
there.
It
is there.
It's been trying to fill that gap forever.
Mitch with the eyes, and we like to say gaps eventually like to fill. Does this fill this gap?
Yes.
Mitch is saying yes. You're still bullish. Money Mitch is still bullish lucid.
Get your orders out and just make it safe. Make it 56 instead of 5608.
We've had a few requests for the dad joke of the day. I'm going to say no dad joke of the day unless we get to 500 likes. We can do it, but it might take 30 seconds, but we can do it. Let's get to 500.
Just before
you
go to the dad joke, what about Rivian? Is that coming out today? RIVN?
No, I thought it was tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow? Is it today or tomorrow?
Chad, help me out. I could have sworn the Rivian IPO was tomorrow.
RIVN is going to be the ticker. I'm not sure when it's coming.
You don't see big IPOs on a Monday, really.
But how much of this EV run up to is Rivian? Everybody's pumped, you know, with Rivian too. That's a catalyst as well for all the other stuff.
Dennis, I'll tell you how pumped it is. Go look at the Ford chart. That's how pumped it is.
And Ford, this I agree with you. It is getting a pop because of Rivian as well, obviously. So Ford eventually seeing $20. I don't know. It's close. 1972 on Friday.
Yeah, Ford's got
it. Still long.
Ford's got what, a 12% stake? So I think
they do. Yeah. That their headquarters is.
Somebody said Catchy's saying Wednesday. Catchy's always right.
So Catchy says Wednesday. Matt Hammond was going to correct us anyway, but yes, I knew it wasn't today.
Their headquarters is right out where my mom stays. I go by it all the time. Rivian.
All right. Well, we didn't get to 500 likes, which means no dad joke today, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
Plus for that one, I guess.
Dads love saying this was the weekend one. Dads love saying that's got some kick to it when they're eating spicy food. I love it. I think I say that. Okay. All right. I'm going to hop over to pre-market prep to cover some tickers. So everyone have a good day. We'll talk to you later on.
All right. We'll catch you later, Joel. We'll catch you later, Dennis. I will catch the rest of you. Coming up next, live trading with Benzinga, Mitch, Ryan, Zunaid. I'll stop by for a few. So we're going to have some fun at the open and do what we normally do. Everyone hit that like button, please, and thank you. Please remember all the information from our show meant to be used as informational purposes and not for investing or trading advice. Thanks for watching. We'll see you coming up next on live trading. And let's make some good trades and make some money today.
Did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market, consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge, boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.